You've got a hand clap this morning. We gather together in the name of Christ to worship the one who is timeless. Amen. The Bible says that he's infinite, that there is no end, that what he pours out never runs dry. And praise God, because I know about y'all, but I need more of that mercy every single day. Amen. Think about this with me for just a moment. God created time, and time is sequential. It goes in one direction. But he created our world in such a way that our year is circular. Every year we go around the sun one time. And when things are sequential, we can never go back to it. But when things are circular, we come back around and it seems like I've got another chance to live fresh for God. Amen. Let me encourage you with this word as you come into this new year, this another trip around the sun. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. In other words, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, do whatever you want and God will bless it because you have his heart. And that's what I'm praying for us all here in 2026. Let's bow together in prayer. God, we come to you and ask, Father, that you would move in our midst. God, we do want to commit our ways to you. We don't want to be counter you, Lord. We don't want to go a different way. We want to follow you. And this morning is our opportunity here at the outset here of 2026 to fix our hearts fresh on you. Father, not just as individuals, but as a church. You've gathered us together as a body of Christ, a family of God right here. And I pray that you would bind our hearts together in such a way that we help one another pursue you more strongly, that we commit our hearts to you and help one another to come through on those commitments. God, you are good. Father, I want to pray this morning for the person that has never turned from sin and trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. Father, I ask that today the Holy Spirit would clearly open their eyes that they may see the beauty of Jesus and would run to Jesus in repentance and faith and be saved. Father, that is the greatest miracle in the history of the world, the salvation of a sinner. And today I pray, Father, that you would work that miracle in our midst. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, grab your seat and grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. That is a passage of scripture that you no doubt know very well. And I'm excited here on this first Sunday of 2026 to dig into it with you. So happy and blessed new year. We're going to begin a new series here as we get into this new year that we're calling Every Crossroad, launching our next 100 years. And so over the next 6 weeks, our pastoral team, it's going to be a team effort in this series here. Over the next 7 weeks, this week and then the next 6 weeks, we're going to help you to better understand our new vision frame and how to live that out. We'll look at our new values, our new measures, which really those values have been here all along. We've just seen them rise to the forefront. But this morning, we're going to begin with the fountainhead of it all, which is our mission. You've heard me tell the story before, but not long after I arrived here, y'all, I began to dig into the history of this church. And when I discovered all the things that have been told about this church and the records and in the directories and the minutes and all those things, I immediately began to mark 2026 as an extra special year, right? This is our centennial. 2026 is our 100th birthday. And a century ago, God was stirring the hearts of men and women just like you and me. They may have dressed a little different, but they were people just like you and me, and it led to the planting and the chartering of this church. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that same God, I'm convinced, is still stirring hearts right now in this year. This year, y'all, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a year where we celebrate our 100th by blessing our 20. You're going to hear that all year long. Bless our 20. Bless our 20. What is our 20? Our 20 is our church field, the 20-minute radius around this building. And here's what's going to make this birthday celebration different. You see, most birthdays, what do? Well, you honor and you celebrate the person that's turning a year older. But this is how our year is going to be different. The real thrust, the real joy of our celebration this year is going to be about those who are outside these walls. We, of course, we're going to celebrate what God has done and who God has gathered together here and what God has done over the past 100 years and what he's done inside these walls. But 2026, we're going to get outside these walls. We're going to bless our 20. And beloved, there is no greater blessing than to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, what greater blessing can you give someone than to show them Christ? And that's what we're going to do all year long. We're going to point people to Jesus, call people to choose Jesus, follow Jesus, pursue Jesus, because look, he's the world's only hope for blessing and for restoring their relationship with God. And this isn't just something we came up with. I mean, this is the Bible, isn't it? This is the Bible. These are the marching orders that Jesus gave us after he was resurrected from the grave and before he ascended into heaven. It's what we call the Great Commission, and we find it clearly spelled out in Matthew 18. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We probably don't even have our Bibles open, right? We could probably just quote it, couldn't we? But let's read it along together. The Bible says this. And Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the Great Commission. That is the mission of every single church. But how do we live that out uniquely right here in the region around Collinsville? Well, last year we answered that question through the development and through the adoption of our new vision frame. Right? In late 2025, with one heart, one mind, we adopted the following statement as this church's mission: guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. Let me say that again. Guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. Can y'all say that with me this morning? Let's try it. Here we go. Ready? Guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. Now look, our staff has permission. They have been commissioned, we'll say it that way, to check you from time to time. If they see you in the hallway and they say, hey, what is our mission? You got to be ready to say that. I want you to internalize this. I want you to take this on. I pray that you will make this your own. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, why are we replacing the Great Commission? Didn't we just read Matthew 28? Can't we just take Matthew 28 and say this is our mission? We could, certainly. But the answer is we're not replacing the Great Commission when we say guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. You see, this is actually just an expression of how God has uniquely called us right here to live out the Great Commission, our context, our community, our 20. You might say it this way, this mission statement is the Great Commission translated into our specific DNA, giving us a unique identity for this place. But here's what you need to hear. I pray the words of this mission would not just be words that you hear from the pulpit or that you read in a bulletin, or that you read on a banner. I pray they would become yours, that you would personally embrace them as your own personal mission. not just that Collinsville will do this, but that I will do this. Our mission must become your mission. And when you do that, look, you're not abandoning the Great Commission. You're actually embracing it. And so that's today's takeaway. As we get into the text here, today's takeaway is embrace the Great Commission by making our mission your mission. If you're looking for a theme for 2026 in your life, this is it. Guide generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. Embrace the Great Commission by making our mission your mission. And again, just in case you haven't written it down yet, what is our mission? Let's say it together again. Guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. I want to show you this morning, when you personally embrace that mission as your mission, you are embracing the Great Commission, because the Great Commission, y'all, is woven into every word of this mission. First, in our mission, let's focus on the word Christ. Christ, you see it there? Christ didn't just speak the Great Commission, right? He saturated it with himself. He's all in there. Whose name are we given, right? Let's say it this way. Who's been given all authority in heaven and earth? Who has been given it? Christ. Everybody say Christ. That's right. Come on. Y'all can talk with me here, right? Whose name are we supposed to live and serve in? Who is it?
Christ.
He's in there, right? Now, yes, there is the full Trinitarian aspect of this. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But right there in the center, who is it? It's the Son, Christ. And whose commandments are we supposed to teach? Christ's. And whose presence encourages us all along the way? Christ's. So Christ is the center of the Great Commission. He's the very middle. Therefore, he is the center of our mission. He's the center of our mission in the same way that the sun is the center of our solar system. All right, when you think about our solar system, the sun isn't just first. Sometimes we think about it that way, right? You got the sun in the middle, and then I don't know what y'all learned, but at Richardsville Elementary, we learned, my very excellent mother just sat under new pines. Pluto was a planet when I was little. That's how old I am. I'm so old, a planet's done been kicked out of the scientific books, right? We think of it sequentially like that. And so we always say, well, the sun is first, and then from there on out, it all comes. But that's not how our solar system works, is it? No. It's not sequential like that. You see, the sun is actually the very center of it all, like the bullseye on a dartboard. You can see it right there, how everything, all the planets, circle around that sun. The planets don't orbit one another. They don't chart their own courses. Every single one of them is held in place by the sun, its gravitational pull. And most importantly, the Earth is kept right where it needs to be, in that perfect Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. And that's where life is flourishing in our solar system, right? Now, what would happen if the sun were to be removed from our system? It would be chaos, wouldn't it? Complete and total chaos, right? The planets would fly off and do their own things, spinning wildly out into the darkness of space. Order would collapse into disorder. And on Earth, what would happen? We would all die. Right? Death would overcome life because everything would freeze and it would all cease to exist. So the sun, as you think about our solar system, look, it's not just important. It's essential. It's the essential center. Remove it and there is no solar system. I say to you this morning, y'all, Christ is the exact same way when it comes to the Great Commission and to the church. Christ's authority holds everything in its proper orbit. Christ's name, it gives it its identity. Christ's commandments, it gives it direction. Christ's presence, it gives it life. It gives it power. And when he's not the center, even good things drift into chaos, right? We see this, right? Missions becomes activism at that point. Discipleship becomes behavior modification. The church becomes a religious organization. Right? Yuck. There's no real life in that. And it breaks my heart, y'all, to see so many churches in our nations who have become whitewashed tombs. Why? Because Christ is not the center of their church life. He is at best something that they give mental assent to. They speak in Christ terms, but there's no Christ in their midst. Beloved, may that never be said of our church, right? In our next 100 years, may Christ be the center always, the center that he deserves. But not only that he deserves to be, but that he must be if we are going to be a church. Because without Christ, there really is no church. Christ is the center of the church. Therefore, he's the center of the Great Commission. And for that reason, he is the center of our mission, guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroads. Let's now turn our attention to these words in our mission. Guiding to pursue. Guiding to pursue. There's action here, isn't there, right? A mission statement is supposed to move us. It's to call us to get up out of our seats and go do something. Of course, the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, the Bible says, right? Now, notice disciples. Don't miss that word. We're not here to make converts. Converts can make a decision today and then walk away tomorrow. But a disciple follows Christ with devotion their entire life. We're here to make disciples, not attendees. An attendee, what does he or she do? Well, they show up on a Sunday here or there. But a disciple pursues Christ every day of the week. Disciples, not consumers. A consumer says, what can the church do for me? What can Christ do for me? A disciple asks, how can I follow Christ and serve others? Disciples, not fans. A fan admires Jesus from a distance. Maybe even wears a cross around their neck. But a disciple is up close. A disciple is being covered by the dust of the rabbi. They're so close, following Jesus as he kicks up dust as he goes along. Even when it's costly, they follow Jesus. No bandwagon disciples. Disciples, not just members. You know, you look across, if you were to ask Suzanne, how many members of Collinsville First Baptist Church are there? There's a bunch, right? Several hundred, 600 plus members. But members just join an organization. A disciple is transformed by a relationship with Jesus, right? A disciple pursues Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to say to you as a church, that is our aim. And we want to be very explicit that is our aim. We want to help you become a better disciple of Christ. We want to help you become what God wants you to be. And so everything we do must be geared around that, toward that. We must be a disciple-making machine, so to speak. That means when somebody walks through our doors for the first time, we're not just trying to sign them up for Sunday school. We want to introduce them to Jesus. When that student, that teenager, when they're wrestling with doubt or identity, or purpose in their life, we're not going to hand them a curriculum and say, work your way through these 10 steps. We're going to point them to Jesus, right? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. When there's a family that's facing crisis, a job loss or a diagnosis or a broken relationship, we're not going to send them to a seminar. We're going to point him to the presence of Jesus, who promises to be with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus is the answer to every situation. Amen? And look, I'm not being trite when I say that. You know, well, Ben, that's the Sunday school answer. No, that is the Bible's answer. Amen? Look, programs can help. Curricula, they have their place. Praise God. Events and activities, they matter. But here's what you need to understand. Programs get stale. Events end. Buildings wear out. Preachers retire and die. Churches themselves close. But Christ never fails. Christ is never wrong. Christ never changes. And he's always where blessing is found. And so our guidance as a church is simple. Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. In this way, we're like a simple directional road sign saying Jesus is this way. Just this past week, my family and I, we were in Chattanooga there at Lookout Mountain. And we were trying to get from the St. Elmo community down at the bottom of the mountain up to Rock City. We had to see Rock City, right? That's what all the barns have been telling us all these years, to see Rock City. And then from Rock City, we had to head over to Ruby Falls. And we had our GPS. But to be honest, man, I don't know what it was. My GPS was on the struggle bus this past week. Did anybody else have that problem, or was it just me? I don't know. It was crazy, right? My GPS, I mean, it took me the weirdest ways. Like, I could see the place over there, and it would tell me to go around and down and up. I mean, it was nuts what it was doing. And so I said, I ain't listening to that thing. And fortunately, there were some nice folks over the years, apparently, that had figured out the best way to get from one place to the other. Maybe they had tried to get up the mountain with their GPS, and they said, this thing is nuts. We're just going to show them the simple way. And what did they have when I pulled out of St. Elmo's there? There was just a little simple directional sign that said Rock City. And I followed that little directional sign, and there were more on up the mountain until I got up to Rock City. And when we were done with that, I pulled out, and my GPS said, go straight. But the little directional sign said, please turn left. And guess what I did? I turned left. I ain't listening to that GPS, because the sign, so simple, so clear, it knew how to get me. Someone with wisdom had put that there, and it got me all the way over to Ruby Falls. Beloved, that's what you and I are to be like. We're like those directional arrows with the simple message, getting people where they need to go. Follow Christ. This way is Christ. Pursue Christ. Know Jesus. Follow Jesus. Become like Jesus. Yeah, that's what it means to be a disciple. We use that word as sort of a Christianese, right? I mean, it's a Bible word, but it simply means to be one who studies Christ, who emulates Christ, who becomes like Christ. And it's a simple message. That is a simple message, but it's profound. It's life-changing. It's changed my life. I've seen it change your life. And let me tell you, it'll change their life out there. Amen? Jesus is the answer, guiding generations to pursue. Let's now turn our focus in our mission to the word generations. Generations. We are guiding generations to pursue Christ. You see, there in the Great Commission, Jesus says to go to all nations, doesn't he? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And how long are we supposed to go to these nations? Well, you follow it through there, and he says, keep going until the end of the age. I'm with you until the end of the age. And so the commission lasts until Jesus returns. All nations. Beloved, that's every person, in every demographic, in every place, every day, aka generations. Now, you and I, although we try to be in more than one place at a time, we can't be everywhere at once, can we, right? We can't go to all the nations and all the generations ourselves. That's the church, praise God, spread out all over the world, all throughout time. But what can we do? Here's what you and I can do. We can reach right here where God has sent us in this place and in this time. You may already believe this, but this is our primary mission field. We may go to another mission field. We may go to Kidderminster, or we may go to Memphis or New York, or we may go to Guat City. We may go to another mission field, but our primary first mission field is right here. So our primary focus is on the generations right here in our 20. Young people, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. There are four generations in this church right now. Four generations. Maybe even five. There may even be a great-great-grandmother or great-great-grandfather in our congregation somewhere. Praise God if that's the case. But typically you have four generations in a church at a time. And God has called us to guide each one of them to pursue Christ, man. And what an opportunity God has given us. Just this last fall, we began to track a new metric that I call unique attenders. Unique attenders. You see, in 2025, and this has always been the case, but particularly in the last few decades of the church, you can't really measure the size of your congregation based on average Sunday attendance. That's because the frequency with which people gather for worship, it's decreased over the years, right? And for good reason in some situations, right? I mean, there are a number of folks, a great number of folks who are out every Sunday. Some are sick, some are traveling, some are working, some are visiting elsewhere. And so a single Sunday, when you look around this room, it is just a snapshot of who this church is. It's not the full picture. So a week-to-week Sunday average, it tells us how many seats are filled on a given Sunday, but not how many people are actually part of our church body. To get at that number, we're now tracking unique attenders across the whole month. Again, it's very unlikely that a person would be here every week, but it's very likely they will be here every month. And so it's a great way for us to begin to get at some of these numbers. And so we've begun to track monthly unique attenders through our Sunday school roll, because that's where we take attendance, right? When you come to the worship gathering, we count, but we don't take attendance. Like, we don't know if Nathaniel Simpson was here or not, right? Or if Chris Cornett was here or not in the worship gathering. We don't track that, but we track those things in our Sunday school. And here's what we found in 2025. In 2025, we averaged 320 attenders in Sunday school each week. But look at that next number. We averaged 517 unique attenders in Sunday school each and every month. Y'all, that's a big difference, isn't it? That's nearly 200 people, like 62% larger than our Sunday average by itself. And then with that number, we can then project how many unique attenders we have a month in our worship gathering, right? Just takes a little bit of math. Again, in 2025, well, here's what we averaged in our worship gathering. You see, we averaged 320 in our Sunday school each week. In our worship gathering, we averaged 418. That's a great number. And when you look at that, when you divide Sunday school by worship, you get a ratio of 1 to 1.31 as far as that Sunday school to worship gathering ratio. 1 to 1.31. And I messed up on the math just a little bit there on the number on the screen. It's 1 to 1.31. That's the ratio there for you math nerds out there, okay? And so when you take that number, listen to this, and you apply that ratio to our unique attender metric, with 517 unique attenders to Sunday school, we can project that our unique attenders each month to the worship gathering is right around 677. And look, that's just a Sunday morning metric. It doesn't even include the dozens of children and students. I talked to JJ and Courtney, and they both said there are dozens of young people that come on Wednesday that don't come Sunday. And so it's easily over 700 different people who walk through our doors for ministries. Children, students, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and what an opportunity God has given us to guide generations right here in our church walls. That number really is an astounding number. But here's what we have to realize when you think about our 20. In our 20, that 20-mile radius, not 20-mile radius, the 20-minute radius around our church, there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 37,000 people. 37,000 people. And our denomination tells us, as they've done stats and all those things, that 75% of them, 27,000 people in our 20, aren't going to church anywhere. You say, well, they may not go to church, but they're saved. They know Jesus, don't they? 61% of them don't. 22,000 people in our 20 don't know Christ. They are not saved. If they were to die today, they would bust hell wide open. Beloved, these are our family. These are our friends, neighbors, our classmates and coworkers, our teammates, and people that we interact with in our community. They check you out at the grocery. Collinsville First, God has brought people from all the generations to our doors, but there are so many more outside our doors who need to be guided to pursue Christ. And 2026 is going to be a step in that direction. We will not neglect those within our walls, but we will turn intentionally to reach those outside our walls. What better way to celebrate a 100th birthday than to go tell people about Jesus? We will guide generations to pursue Christ. And finally, we're going to encourage them to do so at every crossroad. That's the last part of our mission statement. Guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. Now, if there's one thing Collinsville's known for, it's the pig, it's the Mighty Knights, and the crossroad. Right? That's what Collinsville's known for. Our community is literally built around that thing. God in His providence, He placed us right by it. Somebody say, oh, you're the pastor at Collinsville First Baptist. That's the big church by the crossroads, right? That's what people say. God in His providence, He placed us right here. Again, not just good planning. God's providence. I believe God strategically placed us here. He's positioned us where paths converge, where travelers pass, where the community intersects. And what a perfect place to be. And what a beautiful metaphor for life, right? A crossroad. Life is full of them, isn't it? Life is full of crossroads. We often think of a crossroad as a big decision in our life, right? And so we may come to a crossroad every so often. It's this monumental choice that you have to make that will completely alter the course of your life. Now, those are certainly crossroads. But I submit to you this morning that your days are full of crossroads. Not just your life, but your days are full of crossroads. I submit to you that every choice you make is a crossroad. Will I follow Christ or the culture? Will I follow Christ or my flesh? Will I follow Christ or darkness? Will I spend time with God this morning or hit the snooze button? Will I insist on my own way or serve my spouse? I don't need any amens from the front row here. Will I serve my family or get engulfed in my iPhone? They did good. They bit their tongues completely there. Christy keeps saying to me, I can't wait for the new year when you make that New Year's resolution to be on your phone less. And I said, I thought I was supposed to make my own New Year's resolutions. We're still working through that. All day long, y'all, we face crossroads. And at every one of them, we should pursue Christ, right? And we should guide others to do the same. Again, Jesus is always the answer. When you come to a fork in the road, take Christ. That's what Jesus meant when he said in the Great Commission to teach people to observe all I've commanded. And of course, that all begins with baptism. Jesus said to baptize them, go and make disciples, baptizing them. What's the big deal with baptism? Well, that is our public profession of faith. It's our declaration that we will strive to pursue Christ at every crossroad. Baptism identifies us with Jesus. It proclaims to the world, I am with Jesus. Where he goes, I go. And praise God, y'all. In 2025, we had 29 men, women, boys, and girls identify with Christ. Amen. Through baptism. Amen. Praise God. That is the beauty of the church. I know that JJ and I were the ones that were doing the baptisms in those videos, but that is a church effort by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That is mom and dads sharing Jesus. That's neighbors sharing Jesus. That's co-workers sharing Jesus. That's Sunday school teachers and D group leaders and all the things across the board. It is a community church effort. God has called us to go and proclaim to the world that Jesus saves. And this year, I don't know what the biggest number for baptism in a year is for this church, but that's the largest number. 29 is the largest number in my 4 years here. And so as we celebrate our 100th by blessing our 20, I want to push forward. Amen? I mean, I love 29, but I want to see more for the glory of God. And so here's the challenge. I'm going to turn y'all loose on this. I challenge us as a church this year. And I'm asking you to make this mission, our church's mission, your mission, guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. And if we will do this, my challenge to you is 52 baptisms, one for every week of the year in 5 years, in 2030. We believe that we could see 250 people baptized. You say, man, that's a lot of people. I just said a moment ago, there are 22,000 in our 20-minute radius that don't know Jesus. Can we as a church, the body of Christ being sent out, can we reach 52 of them for Christ? I believe we can if our mission becomes your mission, if you'll personally commit to guide generations to pursue Christ at every crossroad. In fact, you know what? There are several in this congregation right now who need to trust Christ. I don't want to miss this opportunity to encourage you, right? If Jesus is not your Savior, you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and for whatever reason, I used to be in your place. I remember those days when I heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit was drawing me, but I was stiff-arming the Holy Spirit. Stop it. Surrender your life to Christ. Turn from sin. Trust in Jesus. Don't put it off. You're not promised tomorrow. If the Holy Spirit's drawing you today, come to Christ. Now is the time of salvation. So those of you that have not trusted Christ, I beg you today, But then there are also those of you who are in the congregation right now. You've privately professed faith in Christ, yet you've never publicly professed Christ through baptism. Again, I was in your shoes. I was saved in 1997, but it wasn't until 2001 when I was baptized. 4 years later. 4 years later. I want to say to you, baptism's not an option. It is a commandment from God. And every day you profess to be a follower of Christ but refuse baptism, you're walking in disobedience to God. And like all disobedience, it grieves the Holy Spirit. So how long will you grieve the Holy Spirit? Come, unashamedly declare to the world that you are a Christ pursuer the way that God has commanded you to by being baptized. You're standing at a crossroad. Pursue Christ through baptism. As our message draws to a close this morning, it is now January 2026. But I want you to imagine with me. Imagine with me January 2126. 100 years from now, the church will be celebrating 200 years. And the building will probably look different if it's even still here. The technology will certainly be different. But gathered in the place will still be followers of Jesus. Some of them will be the great, great grandparents that are sitting here right now, right? Those the children here may be still 100 years from now here in this church, and they'll be great, great grandparents at that point. And somebody's going to stand up in 2126, and they're going to tell a story. They're going to tell about a crossroad that their family faced all the way back in 2026. Maybe it's going to be a teenager who decided to follow Christ. Maybe it's a couple whose marriage was tearing apart, but God saved it. Maybe it's going to be a businessman who learned what it means to honor God with his finances. Maybe it's going to be a child who was taught the gospel by faithful teachers in a Sunday school classroom. And here's what they're going to say. Whatever the story, it'll all come down to this. If that generation back in 2026 hadn't been faithful, if that church hadn't lived out its mission, if those people hadn't guided my family to pursue Christ at that crossroad, I wouldn't be here today. Church, we are writing that story right now. The decisions that we make, the mission we embrace, the faithfulness we live out will echo for generations. And God has placed us here for such a time as this. So what are we going to do? Let's be faithful. Live out the Great Commission by guiding generations to pursue Christ at every crossroads. Here is my final prayer. May this mission become your mission starting today as we launch our next 100 years.